I don't know if you notice things, but I, maybe it's because I'm the preacher, I don't know, but I've been noticing, and I'm not really trying to do it on purpose, but yet I think I am trying to do it on purpose, but it seems like this whole year my messages have been one built on the next and on the next and on the next. And last week I preached about walking into uncertainty, walking into the unknown. And this morning I want to talk about, are you looking for somebody with to help with the pizza? I'm a little busy here, but Bill, you want to come read these notes? You can just read them. Just read them right here and I'll... Why don't we have a pizza party? Would you send the kid? Just call him, RJ. Put it on Tammy's bill. And we could just have... Well, that's, we'll deal with that later. Yeah, I got other food to serve. I want to talk to you this morning about pressing forward with purpose. I'll let that sink in just for a minute. Pressing forward with purpose. A lot of people in the approach the Christian life like a finish line that they've already crossed. We haven't crossed it yet. If you're here this morning, if you're watching by way of the internet, we have not crossed the finish line yet. Paul, one of the greatest Christians who ever lived, says, I'm not there yet in our text. And I think that what we need to see this morning is that spiritual maturity is not about perfection. It's not about perfection, but yet the world would tell us, listen, if you're not perfect, if you're messing up, are you even really saved? Yeah, that's our answer, but they don't see it that way oftentimes. Because as Christians, we're supposed to be all fixed. And I got a few more adjustments that need to be made. I'm just saying. Why'd you laugh that hard, Greg? We've got adjustments that need to be made. And spiritual maturity is not about perfection. It's about a persistent pursuit of Christ. To press on, to press forward with a purpose. I'm determined that I'm going to find my place in Christ. I'm gonna someday, some way, somehow, I'm gonna get it right. Amen. And I'm gonna keep, listen, they say fake it till you make it. I don't think that's all that bad of an idea. You know, when you get knocked down, do you just lay there? If you get knocked down, we need to get up. Some of you said, yeah, we just get back up. Others of you said, yeah, we sometimes get knocked down and we can't get back. I mean, we saw how many millions of dollars did that lady make on TV saying, help me, I've fallen and I can't get up. She made millions of dollars selling wrist things. Help me, I've fallen. When we fall down, sometimes we need somebody to stretch a hand down and to help us to get back up. Slap us on the back of the lap and tell us to get back in the game. Keep fighting, keep running, keep pushing, keep doing what you got to be doing. To God bless you. The sad news is I've already got one in. It ain't helping. That's all right. You just bear with me, all right? Because I'm gonna get through this no matter what. I might need an interpreter. You might need to come. But I really want to convey to you this morning, and I really want you to understand that we're not even though oftentimes I think we're judged by the world on our behavior, we have to come to the place where we realize and we recognize God ain't done with me yet. And all the English professors are freaking out because of the way I just said that, but I don't care. You won't forget it. He ain't done with me yet. He's still working on me. He's still working on you. I'm going to get to a scripture here in a little bit that's going to confirm all of that. But I want you to turn with me this morning before I completely lose my voice to Philippians chapter 3 and drop down to verse 12. And when you're there, would you stand to your feet for the reading of God's word? Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Now, if this doesn't scream at you, you might need a pair of them earmuffs like Mike has, wherever he's at. You don't have them on today? Put your earmuffs on because I'm talking about you. There he is. Turn your earmuffs up, because this verse says, not that I've already attained. Church, we have not yet attained. He's still working on us. Some of us in this place readily admit to the reality that he's still working on us. Others of us, and I hate to say it, but it seems like some of us in the church sometimes feel like we're so close to God that he really ain't got much more to do on us. You might be one of the hardest nuts for him to crack. You might need more help than what you realize. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected. Do you know who's writing this, by the way? Paul. Paul the Apostle is writing this. Where he's writing this from is jail. He's in prison. And he's writing this letter. Paul, if you know anything about Paul, Paul sat at the feet of some of the greatest teachers of all time. He sat under Gamaliel and was taught and instructed. And Paul was so religious before his Damascus Road experience. Paul was so religious that he devoured the word like I devour meatloaf. If you know anything about me, I love meatloaf. And Paul was, he was like a sponge, and he just absorbed and absorbed and absorbed all the teaching and all the instruction that he could get. Yet he makes this declaration in verse 12, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on. Paul found out something about himself. You can have all the teaching that you want. You can have all the learning and the knowledge and the understanding, but without Jesus Christ, you're messed up. You can have a wall covered in degrees and diplomas and still be messed up. Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on. He had a purpose in pressing forward. I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Jesus Christ has laid a hold of me. Listen, I know I'm taking forever to read through this, and so if you need to sit down, by all means, sit down. But Paul recognized that Christ Jesus had a hold on him for a purpose. And I'm going to tell you this morning, some of us are fighting bigger battles than maybe the person standing next to us. And it ain't about any of that, other than the fact that if you're fighting a severe battle, it just might be that the enemy knows and understands a little more about what God has positionally for you in your life, and he's trying to stop you. Fight through all that mess. Push on. Press forward with purpose. Brethren, He says that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us be of the same mind. Father God, I ask you to help us today to comprehend your word, what this little passage of scripture here today is speaking to us, God, because you're shouting it from the heavens, Lord, that you're not done with us, and the enemy has come along and he's done all this stuff, and he's trying to make us sick, and he's trying to put all these addictions on us, and he's trying to cause all kinds of problems in all that we do, and we're busy and blah blah and all that stuff. But God, you have a purpose and you have a plan. We haven't quite apprehended it all yet, but one thing we do, we're pressing forward, we're reaching forward for those things that lay ahead, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Help this preacher, God, to share your word today. I pray lives be changed and transformed because they've been in your presence, not because they've heard me preach, but because we're in your presence. And for that, God, I'll give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Paul said that his goal was to know Christ. I think it's interesting to understand that the word know in the scripture, in this context, is to know as a husband and a wife know each other. I won't get any more explicit than that, but take it from here that that's what he's talking about. It's that level of intimacy in his relationship between him and God is the level of intimacy between a man and a woman in marriage. And Paul says, listen, I want to know Christ. I want to be like Christ. I want to be all Christ has in mind for me. Hello? There's a lot of stuff that we need to learn how to forget. Hello? Things in our past. We need to just shut that stuff off. You can't do a thing about it anyway. To be like Christ, to be all that Christ has in mind. When was the last time you thought about what Christ has in mind for you? I mean, it's so much more than you just coming to church. It's so much more than you watching this service on the internet. Why are you here? What plan does God have? What desire to... You're not even here by accident this morning. I look around, I see faces I haven't seen in forever. You're not here by accident. God has a purpose and he has a plan. But this goal that Paul is talking about, to know Christ, it took all of his energy, and it's help. It can be a helpful example for us. Why do we have the canon of Scripture? To encourage us, to teach us, to remind us, to show us the examples over and over and over of men and women who live just like you got to come to grips with, is the Bible real or is it not real? I've come to grips with it a long time ago that it is the absolute infallible, inspired word of Almighty God. I stake my life on it. In fact, I don't just stake my life on it. I stake eternity on it. Amen. The stories, the documentation in God's Word is there to be an example for us. And we ought to not let anything take our eyes off of our goal, which is to know Christ. Don't let nothing stop you from knowing Christ. With this kind of single-mindedness of an athlete in training, we have to lay aside everything that is harmful. We have to forsake everything that would distract us from being effective Christians. Lay aside, it says, I believe in Hebrews, and lay aside every weight that so easily besets us or holds us back is what it's talking about. Runners in those days, they run with not much more than a fig leaf. You know why? Because things slow them down. They didn't want anything. They didn't want wind slowing them down. They didn't want they stripped off everything that they could strip off. They got rid of it. They set it aside. We have to lay everything aside that is harmful and forsake everything that would distract us from being an effective Christian. I think it's safe to say that if Paul was still pressing forward, then none of us are finished with the growth yet either. Salvation is secure, but your growth is an ongoing process. It's lifelong. If you stop growing, you're in real trouble. Yeah. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12 says, not that I've already attained or that I'm already perfected. Paul's declaring, I still got a ways to go. I still got a ways to go. Let me remind you this morning that being saved don't mean being finished. Being saved means I'm just getting started. I mean, I'm born again. Think about these babies. See, Paul had met Christ on the Damascus Road. He was on a mission, and it wasn't to meet Jesus. It was to stop Jesus. It was to shut him up. It was to shut this sect up. He met him on the road to Damascus. He had met him. After that experience, he preached Christ. He suffered for Christ, yet he admits boldly that he has not yet arrived. He's not yet arrived. Neither have we. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, again, one of my most favorite passages of Scripture says, being confident of this very thing. What are you confident of this morning? Are you confident of the turmoil and the trials and the tribulations that you're going through? Or are you confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ? I'm telling you, he ain't done with you. A couple more days. I don't mean to bring up Tommy, but that t-shirt that Tommy used to wear, couple more days construction. Listen, I got news for you. He got more than a couple days work left on this old boy. Amen. He was a carpenter, and he's got a few more days left to work on you and I. And he says, I'm confident. Just because I go through trials and tribulations, just because I have mess in my life, Bob, don't mean that God's done with me. He's working on me. Some of us need a few of the rough edges knocked off. Right, Bill? You were talking about the one slide for the men's retreat, and it was flint and steel. And you asked the question, what's the verse, you know, iron sharpens iron, and that's a good verse. But as I thought about that, I thought, you know what, I don't think that's what they're trying to get across. They're not trying to get that. Because flint, if you take flint and make it, it will spark. Hey, I'll do the preaching. Lord makes fire. God wants to build this fire up inside of us. He wants to ignite us. And they use a piece of steel against that flint. And you have some tinder there, and it's dry, and you knock some sparks off the flint into that pile of tinder, and the next thing you know, it starts to smoke, and you start blowing on it. And how many of you know we need the Holy Ghost to begin to blow on the fire that is just a burning little ember down deep inside of us, and He wants to turn that thing into a raging inferno and burn up every bit of chaff and junk in your life. He's not done with us. I'm trying to help somebody this morning. We need to remember that we've been saved by grace, but the same grace that saves us shapes us. The same grace that saves us shapes us. Are you willing to let God begin to mold you and make it? I am the potter, you are the clay. That's what God says. Mold me and make me after thy will, O God. Church, God saved us for a purpose that is worth pursuing. Paul thought it was worth pursuing. I think it's worth pursuing. The enemy thinks it's enough worth pursuing that he's doing everything he can to stop you from pursuing it. God has saved us for a purpose worth pursuing. The last part of verse 12 says, "But I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me." Think about that. He's got a hold of you for a reason. Jesus didn't just save us from something. Jesus didn't just save us from something. He saved us for something. He saved us for something. Every athlete out there is not training without a goal. Purpose gives direction to effort. Purpose gives direction to effort. Ephesians 2 and 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." He has a purpose for you. Good works which God prepared beforehand. How far beforehand? I'm pretty sure from before the foundation of the earth. Anybody going through any mess in their life at all? Anybody? Anybody ever question your salvation? 4 or 5 of you. Rest of you, good news. I'm going to have an altar call in a little bit. The enemy wants to convince you that you're not worth saving. The enemy wants to convince you that you've screwed it up too many times, too bad, too often, and there's no hope for you. That's a lie. I was told one time, you've heard me say this before probably if you've been here longer than 15 minutes, that a guy told me one time, a guy that I admired, a guy that I looked up to spiritually, he said, "Listen, there ain't no hope for you. The devil has your head mounted on a wall as his trophy. You're done." I was like, "Sweet. That's..." Whew. I mean, when you hear that from a mentor, someone that you look up to spiritually and they tell you that? I took it to heart. I'm like, there's no point in me fighting this battle no more. I'll just give up. And so I tried it. Problem was, he wouldn't leave me alone. He being God, he being the Holy Spirit. And I came to a place in my life where I said to myself, I said, self, if there's no hope for you, why do you feel bad about doing bad stuff? Why do you even care? And I thought, that's a pretty good point. Maybe I ought to repent. And so I did. And now I'm your pastor. You're stuck with me. Hey, we've all got a story. We've all got a story. He didn't just save us from something. He saved us for something. I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, he says, as I forget those things which are behind me. Church, you cannot move forward while holding on to the past. That's why the rearview mirror is so small and the windshield is so big. It's way more important to see what's in front of you than what's behind you. You need to understand that. You can't move forward while constantly looking back. Paul forgot all of his religious achievements. He laid them aside, even his painful failures. Think about this. How many of you are struggling with the things in your life that you did that you screwed up? You know you screwed them up. It was stupid. You wish you'd have never done it. If you could do a do-over, you'd do a do-over, but you can't. It's in your past. It's part of who you are. It's what you've been made. How many of you wish you could just do something about that? Well, you can't. Turn it loose. Think about Paul on the road to Damascus and going and killing Christians. This is after he had stood and watched them martyr Stephen, standing on their coats so that he didn't get his little shoes dirty for crying in the night, man. And Paul had to make a conscious decision in his life that he had to put that stuff aside. He couldn't let the enemy beat him up with his past. And you and I have got to learn to get to that place where we don't let him beat us up anymore with our past. Paul laid it aside, his religious achievements, all these painful failures. He just laid it aside. He knew he had to press forward, and he could not press forward if he had his backpack on, Bob. I think about that backpack every time I preach something like this, because it's a huge backpack. You were never meant to carry that thing. Put it down. Leave it there. A runner who keeps turning around to see who's behind him will never win a race. You just won't. You might be here this morning and maybe you need to release your guilt. You hearing me? Don't turn me off just because I sound stupid. Some of you here this morning might need to release your guilt. Others might need to release some pride. Man, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Some of you might need to release guilt. Some might need to release pride. Because both can hinder your progress. Both of them can hinder your progress. We've got to understand that growth really demands focused pursuit. When you're running, you're not looking at what's behind you. You're looking for the finish line. You're looking for the finish line. You're marathon runners. You don't look. You can't see the finish line. It's not like a sprint where you start here and you end right there. You can't see it, but in your mind, you know it's there. And you keep running and you keep pressing and you keep fighting until you get to the finish line. And when you get to the finish line, you've saved a little something, something along the way. Something that'll help you have a little burst at the end. And when you get there, you're leaning so far forward that you... Have you ever been running and you get to leaning too far forward? Anybody know what I'm talking about right now? Next thing you know, you're on your face in the dirt because you can't catch up. Well, when you're running a race like that, and you that happens at the finish line, it's okay. Somebody will be there to help pick you up, dust you off, and say, hey, you did a good job. You run the race. You might not be first, but you ran the race. You finished the course. I don't have an idea where I'm at. Okay. It's a little foggy. Growth really does demand focused pursuit. Philippians chapter 3. Verses 13 and 14 out of our text says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do. Paul, he breaks it down here. He narrows it down in this passage that he said, I've narrowed it down. I count myself to have apprehended. But one thing. If it was important for Paul, maybe it's important for you and I to forget those things that are behind. Forget about those things. Forget those things which are behind and reach forward to those things that are ahead. Isn't it interesting? See, when the disciples were in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, and the storm came up, the Bible says that it was boisterous. Anybody look the word boisterous up? Anybody? See, y'all are missing out. You got to get in your word, and you got to find out what these words mean. The word boisterous, they just needed it for filler, I think, probably. But when I studied that word out, Bob, boisterous means raging. It means that the wind was blowing. It was ripping. And there were waves all around. They weren't on a flat sea. They weren't just some ripples going on. This thing was a mess. And Jesus comes walking to them on the water. And this is all going on. It's all going crazy around there. All the wind and the waves and everything. And they're freaking out. They think it's a ghost coming. And so he says, hey, it's not. It's me. It's Jesus. Loudmouth Peter. He's like, yeah, right. If it's you, tell me to get out of the boat and come to you on the water. And so Jesus takes him up on it and says, get out of the boat and come to me on the water. And he does. Two things happen. Number one, he took his eyes off of Jesus. And what happened? He began to sink. Now, the Lord just revealed this to me just a second ago, so I hope it's fresh for you too. When Peter started to sink, he didn't reach for the boat. He didn't reach for the boat. He reached for Jesus. And Jesus had him just like that. Listen, when you start to sink, don't reach for something of your own making to save you. Reach for him. Man, that's what I'm talking about. That's what he's talking about through me, all right? Let's just get it right. I press toward the goal. There is a goal, by the way. To place called heaven. I can't wait to get there. I press toward the goal for the prize. Why do they run? They run because they're hoping to get a prize. See, Paul had lots of reasons to want to forget the past. And again, I talked about this earlier. He had held the coats of those who had stoned Stephen, and we've all done things for which we're ashamed, and we live in the tension of what we have been and what we want to be. And because our hope is in Christ, we can let go of past guilt. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. Nothing else. That's what my hope. My hope is in Christ. Don't let your hope be on you, because you'll be miserable. My hope is in Christ. I can let go of the past. I can look forward to what God wants to help us become. Don't dwell on your past. It will drag you down. Don't dwell on your past. Instead, grow in the knowledge of God by concentrating on your relationship with Him today, right now. Realize that you're forgiven. And if you're not forgiven, you're going to have an opportunity to get forgiven in just a matter of minutes. Realize that you're forgiven, and then begin to move on to a life of faith and obedience. The past ought to not be used as a barrier to the future. Here's the problem. So many times, Christians take a step of faith, want to do something for the glory of God. The enemy meets them, opposes them, brings stiff and strong opposition, knocks them down. They get down and they come to a place, because they haven't made up their mind yet, that no matter, I'm not cussing, but come hell or high water, okay? No matter what, I'm pressing on. But the enemy knocks them down, beats them down to the point where they say, listen, I'm just going to give up, man. Every time I try and do something for God, the enemy just comes out, knocks me down. I'm getting tired of it. Aren't you glad Jesus, about halfway through His scourging and His trip up Golgotha, didn't say, I'm done. I'm done. No, He pressed on. Because there was a goal. It was a cross on a hill that He knew He was going to be nailed to for a purpose. It might look bad, but God has purpose in your life. It might not be comfortable, but God has a purpose for your life. There's a lot of things in life that aren't necessarily comfortable, but if God's involved, it's going to work out. It might not work out the way you think it ought to. It might not even work out the way you want it to look like it ought to work out. But if God's leading you and guiding you, it's going to work out. Grow in the knowledge of God by concentrating on your relationship with Him right now. Realize you're forgiven, and now move on into a life of faith and obedience. Again, your past should not be used as a barrier to the future, as an excuse for dropping out. Paul said, I have fought. I have fought the good fight. I don't know about the rest of you. I've been in a few fights in my life. None of them were very good. Anybody ever been in like a good fight? It was great. I love getting the tar beat out of me. Lips are beat. Nose broke. Great. Nobody says that. Them boxers don't come out of them rings going, man, that was awesome. That was a great time. Got pulverized. Paul said, I've fought the good fight. I have fought the good fight. Don't drop out. Don't avoid proper spiritual conduct in your relationship with God. Paul would forget his past with all of its credentials and all of its accomplishments, and yes, all of its sins as well. And like a runner in a race with his whole body reaching and leaning forward for the finish. How many races have been won by a nose, by a hair, them batons, or them guys are reaching so far, and this guy's reaching back so far, and they're trying to shorten that gap. They're trying to get to the finish line. They're reaching out with their whole body for the finish line. They press on toward the goal. If I can be the first one across the line, I win. I win. I love the stories of marathons where some guy comes in dead dog last. I mean, he's 2 hours behind everybody else. But he crossed the line. And there's still people in the stands. Woohoo! Cheering him on. I'll guarantee you one thing. That guy felt like a champion when that happened. Why? Because he finished the race. Did he win a prize? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. And it wasn't for being last. It was for finishing. It's for finishing. We all run the race in order to win the prize. But you have to determine what's the prize. Am I looking for a wreath? Am I looking for a trophy that I can put on my wall? Or can my prize be the reality that I stuck with it? I stuck with it to the end. And because of it, Paul said, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Doesn't that feel good? Just knowing that? Spiritual growth requires intentional focus. Intentional focus. And all through this, Paul has been using the language of athletes. Press, reach, goal, prize. In the last part of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, let us run with endurance. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. To live effectively, church, you have to learn to keep your eyes on Jesus. Peter had to learn that. He learned that the hard way. You're going to stumble if you look away from him, or you're going to sink if you look away from him. If you begin to stare at yourself or at the circumstances around, that's why Peter sunk. He began to look at the boisterous waves that were around him, and it freaked him out, and he sunk. If he would have looked at Jesus and never taken his eyes off of Jesus, Peter would have never sunk. And everybody, including me, I've preached on him over and over and over, but you want to know something? There's 11 other dudes that wouldn't get out of the boat. They played it safe. You know what? We ain't talking about them this morning. We're not talking about them this morning. You know why? Because they played it safe. They stayed in the boat. They didn't want to get their feet wet. Peter says, if that's you, call me out. And he did. Peter got out of the boat. Got to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to be running for Christ and not for ourselves. We have to keep him in sight. Let me wrap this up, or try to. John, you want to come to play the guitar. Kathy, you can come. however you guys want to do it. Philippians chapter 3, the last two verses of our passage. Chapter 3, verse 15 and 16 says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, as many of us as are mature, have this mind. What mind? The mind of Christ. The mind, a mind stayed on Christ. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. See, I think it's important to remember that maturity is measured by direction, not distance. Maturity is measured by direction, not distance. It's not how far down the road you are. You might be absolute in the lead going down the road, but if you're in the wrong direction, you're still in trouble. Maturity is measured by direction, not distance. Sometimes trying to live a perfect Christian life can be so difficult that it leaves us drained and discouraged to the point where we just give up. Don't give up. Even if you feel so far from perfect that you think you can never please God with your life, don't give up. Fight the good fight. Again, Paul uses this word perfection, and he's talking about being mature. He's talking about being complete, not flawless in every detail. He's not looking for worldly perfection. He's looking to see, are you growing in Christ? Is there some level of maturity rising up from within you? Are you growing up in Christ? We joke around a lot, you know, sometimes. You need to just grow up. I might be getting older, but I'm not going to grow up. Well, you know, that's funny sometimes, but the reality is we need to grow up. We need to grow up in Jesus Christ. To those who are mature, they should press on in the Holy Spirit's power, knowing that Christ will, in fact, reveal and fill in any discrepancy between what we are and what we should be. He's an all-knowing God, right? He knows you and I ain't made it yet. And He's faithful. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 talks about He who began a good work. Doesn't say He who finished it. It says He who began the work. Because you're still a work in progress. I don't care how old you are or how young you are. He's still working on you. He's still working on you. Spiritual maturity is about trajectory, not perfection. Trajectory, not perfection. I've said this so many times, and it certainly fits here again today. God loves us just the way we are, but He loves us too much to leave us here. He loves you just like you are. Fact is, He loved you when you were a horrible sinner. But He loved you too much to leave you that way. He sent His Son to the cross to die. So, are you moving toward Christ? Are you growing more like Him? The goal is not church attendance. The goal is not church attendance. You can attend church till the third day after the rapture and not make heaven. It's not about being in church. It's not about church attendance. It's not even really about moral improvements, because there's a lot of people in this world that live probably more morally perfect lives than most people in the church. But without Jesus, they'll not make heaven. Sad. It's not about church attendance. It's not about moral improvements. It's not even about religious activity. The goal is Christ Jesus. He's the goal. John chapter 17 and verse 3 says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Wow. You want eternal life? You want to live forever? Know Christ. Know Jesus Christ. How do we get eternal life? Jesus tells us very clearly, by knowing God the Father himself through his Son, Christ Jesus. Eternal life requires entering into a personal relationship with God in Christ Jesus. You'll not hear me. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be as loving as I can. But you will not make heaven your home any other way except through Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to be nasty. I'm just trying to say, listen, God said there's one way and one way only. And you can't invent some other way. It's his way. Well, that seems pretty narrow-minded, preacher. I didn't write it. And the reality is this. The fact that he even made a way for us at all ought to tell us of his great love for us. He made a way. He made a way. You got to have a personal relationship with God in Christ Jesus. And when you admit your sin and you turn from it, Christ's love begins to live in us by the Holy Spirit. Christianity, church, is Christianity is not self-help. There's people have made millions and millions of dollars writing self-help books. Listen, you can read every self-help book out there and still bust hell wide open. It is not about self-help. It's about my life. Doesn't the Bible say hidden in Christ? My life is hidden in Christ. Christianity is not self-help. It's my life in Christ Jesus. Paul's message is clear. Number one, if you're a note taker, these are going to be on the board. Number one, don't get stuck in the past. Don't get stuck in the past. Number two, don't settle for less. I want you to think about this just for a moment. I still got 10 minutes, so. What does a prince or a princess want for? What does a prince or a princess want for? What do they want for? What do they want for? They're a prince or a princess. What do they want for? Apparently you're not getting it, so let me just help you. Nothing. Nothing. Why? Because their dad's the king. Or their mom's the queen. They don't want for nothing. Everything they've ever wanted, they have. Why? Because I'm a prince or I'm a princess. I'm a king's kid, whether you're male or female. It don't make a difference. I'm a king's kid. I don't want for nothing. Here's a news flash. You're a king's kid. Woo! I'm a king's kid. I'm not one for nothing. Don't settle for less. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. There is laid up for me a crown in glory, and one day I'm going to slap that sucker on, and I'm going to find my mansion, and I'm going to move into that place, and I'm going to be there forever and forever. Glory to God. Man, I wish somebody would get happy. Woo! That's pathetic. Devil's been trying to shut me up all morning. I refuse. Don't get stuck in the past. Don't get stuck in the past, and don't settle for anything less than a king's kid would have. Don't do it. Don't do it. Number three. This is where I'm going to lose some of you. No, let me change that. I'm not going to lose any of you. This is going to challenge you. This is going to encourage you. Number one, don't get stuck in the past. Number two, don't settle for less. And number three, keep pressing forward. Keep pressing forward. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. Keep pressing on. The devil knocks you down, get up, dust yourself off. Somebody reach down and help that brother or sister up. Put them back on their feet. Get them back in the game. Get them going. Put a Band-Aid on them, whatever they need. Get them back in there. Keep pressing forward. I think Paul is addressing every one of us this morning. For the unsaved, the race begins at surrendering my life to Jesus Christ. For you and I, the believer, stop coasting and start pressing. Stop coasting. I'm a log truck driver. Any log truck driver, any truck driver, period, in the house, some truck driver. Attaboy. You can't coast uphill. Steven's like, I'm a timber cutter, and I know you can't coast uphill. I ain't even a truck driver. You can't coast uphill. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I know this about the life of a Christian. There's going to be some uphills. And if you're just coasting along, if you're just coasting, if you're not pressing on the throttle, on the accelerator, if you're not giving her the onion, that's what I like to say. That's a catchy little tune. For me. Stop coasting. Start pressing forward. Listen to me. For the discouraged. Am I talking to anybody this morning? God ain't finished with you yet. God is not finished with you if you're discouraged. God's not finished with you. God is not done with you. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Don't let the discourager discourage you. Build yourself up in the most holy faith of Christ Jesus. Dust yourself off, man. Get back in the game. Let God use you for His glory. Don't be discouraged. God ain't done with you yet. What Jesus asked the disciples what she's referring to. He asked the disciples, "What are you going to?" Because everybody left Jesus. Jesus said to the disciples, "Are you going to leave me too?" And they looked around at one another. They looked at Jesus and they said, "Where are we going to go? There's nowhere to go but to Jesus." God isn't finished with you yet. You might not be where you want to be. Listen to me. I know there's a lot of stuff going on, but listen, I'm about done. For the discouraged, God isn't finished with you yet. You might not be where you want to be, but listen, we got to look at the glass half full. We got to thank God that I'm not where I used to be. I might not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. I'm not where I used to be. I'm not bound up in all that mess in life. I've moved on. I've taken some steps. I might be struggling. I might have to get picked up every day over and over and over again. It might not look to you like I'm doing anything, but I'm telling you, my God is doing something in my life. You might not be where you want to be, but thank God you're not where you used to be. Unsaved, saved, or discouraged, this morning can all change with Jesus Christ. Bow your heads with me. Bow your heads with me this morning. Bow your heads. Christians, pray. For the believer, your job this morning is to pray for that person to the right and to the left of you. You might not know what that person's going through, and they might need Jesus so bad it isn't even funny. For the unsaved, Paul and Jesus are shouting it from the mountaintop this morning. You enter the race by saying, "Jesus, forgive me." If you can use anything, if you can save anyone or anything, would you save me? The answer to that question is a resounding yes. He loves you. He went to a cross, endured the most horrific beating ever for you and for me. Today, I want to ask you this question. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if let me put it this way, if Jesus showed up in a bus, parked out in the driveway, and said, "If you're going to heaven, get on the bus, but make sure you have your passport to heaven with you," would you be allowed on the bus? Would you be allowed on the bus? "Well, Pastor, I don't know where my passport is, or I never got a passport." Well, you can get one this morning. You don't even have to wait 3 or 4 weeks for it. You get it today. You get it today. And He'll welcome you on that bus. maybe you're that person that lost your passport. You don't know where that thing's at. I know I put it away someplace. I mean, you ever put something away nice and safe and you never found it again? We put that passport away somewhere and something happened. I don't know what happened, but I can't find that thing anywhere. Listen, here's the thing is, God will give you a new passport. God will give you a new passport if you'll just ask Him for it. So heads are bowed and eyes are closed. People are praying. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, if you've never entered the race, I'm going to ask you to just, without any further ado, listen, I've tried my best to explain it to you, that Jesus loves you. He's always loved you. While you were still His enemy, He loved you and He died for you. He saw you from before the foundations of the earth. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish but would have everlasting life. He's talking to you and He's talking to me, and He's saying, listen, if you'll just slip your hand up and say, Jesus, save my soul, He'll do it. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but today I want to. My hand is in the air. I'm asking you to save me right now. Would you do that, Jesus? If that's you, raise your hand. Yes, ma'am, I see your hand. Somebody else, preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. I see those hands. I see them. Listen, Jesus sees your hand. You can put it down. Somebody else today, preacher, that's me. Maybe you're that one that lost your passport. You don't know where that thing's at. But I can't get on the bus if I don't have a passport. What in the world am I going to do? Jesus will issue you a new passport. If you'll just say, look, Lord, I put it down somewhere. I walked away from it. I don't know where it's at, and I'm a mess. Lord, would you come into my life once again? Would you give me a new passport? Would you stamp it approved? You need to start a brand new commitment to Jesus. You loved Him at one point, and stuff happened, you lost your passport, and things got in the way, and you ended up a long ways off course. But today, if you'll slip your hand up and say, Jesus, if you'll accept me all over again, would you do it? He'll do it. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in this place today. Come on. Come on. I know God's talking to some of you. Come on, man. Come on. I see your hands. I see them. Somebody else. Yes, ma'am. I see your hands. Somebody else. Come on. God's talking to some of you this morning. He wants to do something in your life that you never even saw coming. I see your hands, sweetheart. You can put them down. Somebody else, preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. Several hands have gone up, and I'm going to ask you to get up out of your chair and come see the preacher right here in front. Come on. Get up and come right now. Come on. Don't even wait. Don't hesitate. Just get up and come. Just get up and come right now. Oh, just stand right here. Come on, girls. Come on, girls. Come on, young man. I saw your hand go up. Get over here. Come on, Sadri. Come on, baby girl. I saw you. Jesus saw you. That's what's important. Where's my children's leader? Come on. Where's my prayer team? They're here. I thought you were all getting saved. Sorry. Look at all these little kids. Look at all these little baby kids. You're babies. When you're as old as I am, you're a baby. And Jesus loves you. Don't you ever forget that. It's a good day for you, Dad. It's a good day for you. Hi, buddy. Listen. He got you. See, high five. He got her. Because you wouldn't give up on her. Don't forget that. Don't forget that somebody loved you so much that they refused to give up on you.
Jesus
went the extra mile and gave his life to redeem you. I am so proud of you. I'd hug you, but I'm sick. I'm breathing on you. I shouldn't anyway, but I want you to know, man, it is amazing to watch what God has done. I knew this day was going to come. I mean, you told me the other day that you did, but you made it public today. You made it public. That's a whole nother level. Amen. And we're going to get you in them waters of baptism before very long. Amen. We're going to. Sweetheart, I'm proud of you. You've been sitting back there. You've been doing all the things. You've been doing the mom stuff. You've been doing all that you can do. And we kind of sometimes we just let ourselves go. But he saw you this morning. He saw you this morning. And he said, I'm going to do something fresh and new in her life. I'm going to do something fresh and new. And you're not going to forget this day. Okay? You're not going to forget. This isn't even children's church, but look at the children that we have saying, I don't want to miss the bus. I don't want to miss the bus. Making mom and dad proud. Making Jesus really, really proud. I want you to do this for me, would you? Close your eyes. Take somebody's hand next to you. Hold their hand. Act like you like them. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord, forgive me.
Forgive me.
Create in me.
Create in me.
A clean heart.
A clean heart.
Renew a right spirit.
Renew a right spirit.
In me.
In me.
Write my name. In the Lamb's Book of Life.
In the Lamb's Book of Life.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
Forgive all my sins.
Forgive all my sins.
Wash me in the Lamb's blood.
Wash me in the Lamb's blood.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
Renew me.
Renew me.
And restore me. And Lord, I will.
Lord, I will.
Walk with you.
Walk with you.
All the rest of the days.
All the rest of the days.
On this earth.
On this earth.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
I declare
I am
saved
and saved,
delivered and set free in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, church. Come on, church. Yeah.
Jesus, you are.
Hallelujah. Oh my goodness.
I give you all my.
Oh my goodness. Look what God has done. Look what God has done.
Jesus, you are.
Look what God has done.
I surrender every part.
My man. Wash me white as snow.
Let your river flow.
Let your river flow.
Jesus, you are Lord.
Jesus, you are Lord.
Take complete control. Take complete
control.
Jesus.
Jesus, you are Lord.